What? Where's my kids? Am I supposed to have some children? Kids? Any other kids want to come down? All right. All right, great. Great. Well, how are we, guys? Is everybody okay? What? Oh, this. Well, there's a reason for that.
It's a patriotic symbol.
Sort of. Let me give you a hint. Why do people usually tie strings on things? So they remember. See, some people put it on their fingers, but I couldn't tie it on my finger because that I couldn't tie it with one hand. So I tied it where I would be sure and see it because I was afraid I wouldn't see it otherwise. And I wanted to remember because you tie string on things so you won't forget, right? Okay, and so I wanted to remember not to forget. So I have. I'm remembering not to forget.
Not to forget what?
I forgot. Oh, okay, I remember now. How many of you know what this weekend is?
Memorial Day.
Do you have any idea what Memorial Day is for?
We became a
country. Not quite. Memorial Day is for remembering, and that's why I wanted to remember, because we want to remember. But who are we remembering? That's a good thing to remember, but that's not specifically what Memorial Day is set up for. George Washington. Well, he would probably qualify because George Washington was what? George Washington was what? He was in the army, yeah. He was president, but before he was president, he was in the military, and so we would remember him because he's not here anymore. Okay, but what is Memorial Day specifically for? To remember those people who lost their lives serving our country and protecting our freedom. That's what Memorial Day is for. Now, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I'm going to talk to you about it some more a little later. But the problem is, a lot of people don't remember. And so I thought it was interesting that there's actually a passage of Scripture that speaks to this in Numbers chapter 15. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments.'" And so the people would make tassels and they would put them on their garments. Okay. Well, because I want to make sure you saw it more obviously. So, at any rate, they put tassels on their garments, and this is the reason why. "You will have these tassels to look at, so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." And so, we want to remember. So they had tassels, particularly the priests had tassels on their robes to help them remember to teach the Israelites the laws of God. Now, we have Memorial Day so that we can remember those people who lost their lives fighting for us to enjoy the freedoms that we indeed have. And so Memorial Day comes out of wars because there have been a lot of wars, haven't they? Can you name any wars?
World War II.
Yeah. There's been a lot of wars. Why do people have war? How many of you play on the playground? Do you ever have wars on the playground? Do you know that the wars on the playground take place for the same reason that the wars take place out in the world? They do. That's here. Somebody has something and somebody else wants it. Somebody said something and somebody else didn't like it. someone is different and somebody doesn't like them. And you ever been around anybody, know anybody different? You know people who picked on them because they were different? Someone is hurting others and someone needs to stop them. Those are a lot of the reasons. Hi, Avery. Come on, Avery. Those are a lot of the reasons that people fight on the playground, but they're also the reason that people fight wars for some of these very same reasons. So what do we need to remember to do? I think one of the things that's very important for us to remember is to pray. Remember to pray, okay? So that we pray for those people who lost their lives in the sense that the impact that that has on the people around them. We pray for the people who lost family members. We pray for their comfort. We pray for our leaders who have to make decisions about when to go to war and put people in harm's way, because obviously people are going to be affected. So we pray for them to make good decisions. And we can pray that people know Jesus Christ so that they're prepared whenever life might be taken from them, that they're prepared for eternity. And we just pray that God will help us in order to be able to help others. Okay? So we want to remember not to forget. We don't want to forget those people who have given their lives. And I'm going to talk to you in the sermon this morning a little bit deeper about this. And we're going to talk about even people who gave their life in some other situations. And so thank you for coming. And I hope that you'll have a great time with your family on this holiday weekend. But I hope that you will remember to think about those people who have provided all of the things that we enjoy today in our country by the giving of their lives in the fighting of those wars. Okay? So thanks for coming this morning. You can go back and be seated with Mom and Dad now.
Joel 2:28 and 29 says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And this is something that's happening in Myanmar. I wonder if anybody knows where Myanmar is. I didn't know where it was. And it borders Asia, China, India, and Thailand. And this is a country where God's prophecy is now being done. And this first picture that's up is the name of a man, whose name is Robin Sayar. A young pastor in Myanmar named Robin Sayar had a vision of churches in his country calling believers to a life of holiness. He thought of some further theological study might enable him to help that happen. The door opened for him to study at Fuller Theological Seminary in California. Because the seminary campus is near Pasadena First Church of the Nazarene, Robin began attending services there. He found himself at home theologically with the Nazarenes, almost to the point of saying, I was a Nazarene all along and I just didn't know it. He joined the Church of the Nazarene and after seminary graduating, returning to Myanmar to start the Church of the Nazarene. Today, he is superintendent on the Myanmar district, and there's 23 Nazarene churches there. The vision of Robin Sayar is a young man coming true. And then here's another story, and this is a picture of this man in this story. The promise of Joel, of the Spirit being poured out on all people, and of young men seeing visions came true in Kosovo. The first Nazarene congregation in Kosovo was pastored by 17-year-old Salem. Salem had come to the Lord at 15 years of age. 2 years later, when missionaries left unexpectedly, they handed him the keys to the building. That's really something to hand him to somebody that's that young. Salem immediately became not just the keeper of the keys, but the pastor. He began envisioning a time when evangelical churches would dot Kosovo's landscape. Now in his 20s, Sam is a dynamic, godly pastor. He is one fulfillment of Joel's prophecy.
As we prepare to take our tithes and offerings today, I wonder how important you feel your tithe is to our church. And when I say our church, I'm not talking about my church, I'm talking about our church, everyone here. On Memorial Day, I thought about, or as we approached Memorial Day, I thought about my grandmother. My grandmother in her closing years had arthritis so badly that her hands looked like that. They were totally drawn together. The Sunday after my grandmother's funeral service, her tithe went into the church. She already had it made out. It was a very important thing to her that she support and love and care for her church. She supported the kingdom of God with her prayers. She supported her grandson, namely me, with her prayers. Called me her preacher boy. I don't know where I'd be today if it were not for her support, for her prayers, and for her backing that up, saying my church is important and my tithe is important that it be in the church. We have a grand heritage, those of us that have had those walk before us in love and caring for the Lord and for the Lord's house. As we bring our tithes and offerings in today, I'd like for you to think of someone maybe who's walked before you, who showed you how much God loves you. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse today, it's important. It was important to the psalmist. He said, I will remember the Lord. These children today have said, it's good to remember the Lord. But many have walked the pathway before us in the Christian way, and many have given their lives that we might worship today and have freedom in our worship. Now, as we bring our tithes in on this Memorial Weekend, may we be faithful to remember our Lord and those that have gone before us, those who have given their lives that we might be free. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord of my soul. Lord,
This morning, that he is indeed all of those things, that he is a healer. As we look at the list within our bulletin, we know that we need him to be our healer. We want to remember all of these names as we go to our prayer closets this week. Just some very quick updates. We want to be praying for Sister Helen Atnip, who has flown to Florida to be looking for a relocation home. We want to remember Iris Guerin, who hopes to get a report on a Tuesday of this week, I believe it is, concerning some tests that she had done. We want to remember Dan Downing, who had some sheets of metal cut his leg and leave some abrasions and lacerations, and so pray for his healing of those injuries. We're glad to see Ted back and out of the hospital after knee surgery. Trust that God will continue to touch him and bring healing into his life. We want to tell you that Bruce Branstein has come through a surgery successfully. Talked to Debbie this morning, and they're hoping, and we want to be praying specifically, that they'll be able to remove the tubes from his throat today, and that he'll be able to begin to take liquid and eat and some things like that. And so that's kind of the big thing today, is to get those tubes removed. So that's what we're going to pray specifically about. And there were some blood pressure issues and things through the night, but no further calls. And so as far as they know, that's all been regulated and taken care of. And so we believe that he indeed is moving in a positive direction, but certainly needs God's hand in his healing and recovery. So continue to pray for him. Then pray, as Ben has already mentioned, Bonnie Burke will have surgery on Tuesday the 27th. Really going through some difficult times. They've had to take her off of all of her medications in order to prepare her for surgery. So she's not on her pain medication. She's not on the other things that help her back and so forth. These few days, she's having to just trust the Lord to help her through these things. So I talked to them this morning as well and asked that you would remember, assured them that we would be praying for them in our prayer time. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing a prayer course in a moment. The altars are open to you. I'm going to ask our veterans, if they will, to simply, if you're here this morning and have served or are serving in our armed forces, that you would just step into the aisle. We want to just honor you this morning. We certainly remember those who have given their lives in the ultimate sacrifice, but we also want to say thanks to these who have served their country and have helped to preserve our freedoms. Would you give these gentlemen, ladies, a hand this morning as we appreciate them for their service? We want to pray God's blessing upon them as well. And so these altars are open. As we sing, you feel free to come if you need a place of prayer this morning, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, our mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place.
Father, as we lift our voices to you this morning, we are indeed grateful for who you are and what you have done. And as we pause on this Memorial weekend, Father, we remember those who have indeed paid the ultimate sacrifice in the giving of their lives to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy, to worship in this place, so to say what we think, to worship as we feel. Lord, to express ourselves in a way that is not available to many people around the world. And so we thank you for those who have indeed given to preserve our country and great nation being what it is. And Father, then we pray for those that are here this morning who have served and made it home safely. And Lord, we pray that they would know that we have not forgotten and we do not go unappreciative for their service that was rendered to our nation today. And then, Father, we pray especially for those that are, even as we speak, in harm's way today. For those that are serving in safe places, we are indeed grateful as well for their on-call and ready to go should they need to do so. Father, we just pray for your protection and your blessing over our military and all of those, indeed, who have been a part of it. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president and for our Congress. Big decisions that have to be made from time to time about deploying forces and indeed what conflicts to become involved in. And Lord, we just pray that you would grant to them wisdom and guidance and direction and hearts to hear what you have to say and what you have shown us along the way. Father, today we are most grateful for the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind in Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you that our sins have the opportunity to be forgiven, that we have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, to have the assurance of a home in heaven and an eternity with you and a better life while we're here. Father, we are indeed grateful for all these things. Thank you for this church, those who have gathered here on this day. Father, as we have come, we come with a rejoicing and thanksgiving in our heart for many things, many blessings. And yet, Lord, also our hearts may be heavy for some situations that we are challenged with that are beyond us. And we are thankful that we serve a God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine, who can, nothing is too hard for him, nothing is impossible to him. And therefore, Father, we find peace and assurance and comfort and the confidence to move on in life, knowing that you know what is out ahead of us and that you can handle what we're going through even right now as we speak. Father, we love this country. We love you. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be a good citizen as an American. We pray, Father, that you would help us to to indeed be a good citizen of heaven, to proclaim the gospel message and to tell people of Jesus' great love and God the Father and how He has provided all things needed to make it through this life and into eternity. Father, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You. We ask all of this in the powerful and precious name of Your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, reads like this, and you will not have the scriptures on the screens this morning. We have indeed converted to new towers in the office and in the sound booth, and in the process, while they tell us that you can transfer everything from one to another and it'll just work like that, they don't always tell you the truth, because we have not got all our files, and so there are some things that are glitching a little bit this morning. And we appreciate your patience as we work the bugs out of the new system. But we also appreciate your giving and your obedient response. As Pastor Don talked about, your tithes and your offerings that have allowed us to purchase the things that were needed for the church to upgrade. And so we thank you for that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 read like this: "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.'" This is indeed Memorial Day weekend. And the word memorial means serving to preserve remembrance. And as I was praying and asking God for direction as to what he would have us to say and do in this service of this morning, I went to YouTube oftentimes. Matter of fact, the video that you saw, I found there on YouTube. Thought it was an appropriate tribute. And indeed, the words fell right into what I felt like the Lord was leading us to do and to mention this morning as we talk about not forgetting. Thus the point of the orange ribbon on my glasses this morning and the children's sermon and this passage that we're reading now. If you noticed inscribed on the stone that had Truman's comments on it, in part of that, in the latter sentence of that stone carving, were the words, "America will never forget." America will never forget. Well, that could have been Harry S. Truman's highest hopes and dreams, but it's unfulfilled. As I was watching, a young man had a couple of videos on YouTube, and that came up as I was looking for Memorial Day tributes, and I was disturbed greatly by what I saw. For in what appeared to be a West Coast setting, a young man with a microphone in hand began to ask people on what appeared sort of like a boardwalk area with a long extended beach and people activities. This young man began to walk up to people and say, "Did you know this is Memorial Weekend?" "Oh yes, holiday. People know it's a holiday." "And indeed, what are you going to do? What is it indeed we memorialize on Memorial Day?" And person after person said, "Well, I can't remember. I don't know." He asked them what activities they would be involved in, and everyone knew that it was a party weekend, and there would be a barbecue, and they would get together and have a party and have some fun. And several of them said that they would get drunk, and I'm sure that these tapes were edited to further emphasize the point that was made. But it was disturbing to me that you could walk onto an American public place and find so many people. Most of them that were in this interview process were probably under 30 years of age, that cannot remember. Now, here's part of the deal. The Scripture tells us that our responsibility is to teach them. So part of what they don't know may not be all their fault. But it was disturbing to me that they didn't know. Matter of fact, the guy went on to ask leading questions. He would say things like, this is the Memorial Weekend, and we're going to honor, you know, those great surfers that have passed on now, and we're going to have a holiday to indeed promote surfing, and we need to memorialize them. And several people said, "Well, we think that's a wonderful idea. That's great. We should do that." And then another time he said to somebody, he said, "Now, this is Memorial Weekend, is when we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence." They thought that's a good idea. He went on to talk about, matter of fact, to one person he said, "This is when we memorialize Hitler," and they just agreed with him. And then finally, at the conclusion of these videos, and again, I'm sure they were edited to overemphasize the point, but at the end of the video, there was a man, probably appeared to me to be maybe in his 50s or 60s, and he walked up to him and he said, Yeah, this is Memorial Weekend. Just wondering what you're going to do to memorialize the signing of independence for our country. And the guy looked at him and said, that's not what Memorial Weekend is. And then identified for him what Memorial Weekend was about. Does it disturb you that there are people who don't know what Memorial Weekend is for? When Memorial Weekend is supposed to be about remembering? Does it bother you that people indeed don't want to forget to remember, but they've forgotten what they're remembering? The very things that we enjoy, the freedom to worship as we choose in the place we choose, not somebody else telling us how we have to do it. Always somebody offering suggestions, but nobody telling us how we have to do it. Are you glad to have that freedom this morning? Are you glad that you can sit in your home and get on the phone or talk on the computer about your government and say, you know, I don't really agree with the president. He said this and I don't agree with that. And the Congress, I'm pretty ticked with the Congress because they just seem to be padding their own pockets and doing their own thing, and they're really not interested in what's good for the country as a whole. And to be quite honest, the people dealing with Supreme Court now are driving me insane because they no longer embrace the intention of the authors of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Now they interpret it according to current culture and the desire of the world. And so, you know, that kind of frustrates me. Now, there are other countries where if you say that kind of thing, matter of fact, I just read an article this morning about a preacher who was preaching a sermon series across the Memorial Day holiday back a couple, 3 years ago, and made a reference to the fact that there were more lives lost in abortion clinics than there were in all of the American wars. And that the FBI came and investigated him because one of his parishioners turned him in as promoting war against abortion clinics. And 2 or 3 weeks earlier, he had said that he was willing to go to jail if it was required for a stand against homosexuality and some other things. And the person who called the FBI just kind of put all the sermons together and said, this guy said that we should declare war on abortion clinics. He's ready to go to jail for it if he needs to. Well, they came and investigated, looked at the sermon outline, said, you know, obviously that's not the problem, and left the guy alone. But that's the kind of thing where at least there are countries where they don't ask you. They don't want to see your sermon outline. They, you know, if they believe you're doing something they don't want you to do, they pick you up and throw you in jail. The freedoms that we enjoy in this country, we enjoy because men and women have served and given their lives and fought to protect all of those opportunities and privileges. I want you to know this morning, every one of you of all ages, a little bit about the idea of Memorial Day, because it's more than barbecues and the opening of your city pool. 3 years after the Civil War ended, on May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared that Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th. It is believed that date was chosen because flowers would be in bloom all over the country. The first large observance was held that year at Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The ceremony centered around the mourning-draped veranda of the Arlington Mansion, once the home of General Robert E. Lee. Various Washington officials, including General and Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant, presided over the ceremonies. After speeches, children from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Home and members of the GAR made their way through the cemetery, strewing flowers on both Union and Confederate graves, reciting prayers, and singing hymns. Local springtime tributes to the Civil War dead already had been held in various places. One of the first occurred in Columbus, Mississippi, April 25, 1866, when a group of women visited a cemetery to decorate the graves of Confederate soldiers who had fallen in the battle at Shiloh. Nearby were the graves of Union soldiers, neglected because they were the enemy. Disturbed at the sight of the bare graves, those women place some of their flowers on those graves as well. Today, cities in the North and South claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day in 1866. Both Macon and Columbus, Georgia claim the title, as well as Richmond, Virginia. The goal of Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania claims it began there 2 years earlier. A stone in a Carbondale, Illinois cemetery carries the statement that the first Decoration Day ceremony took place there on April 29, 1866. Carbondale was the wartime home of General Logan. Approximately 25 places have been named in connection with the origin of Memorial Day, many of them in the South where most of the war dead were buried. The official birthplace declared in 1966, Congress and President Lyndon Johnson declared Waterloo, New York as the birthplace of Memorial Day. There, a ceremony on May 5, 1866, honored the local veterans who had fought in the Civil War. Businesses closed. The residents flew flags at half-staff. Supporters of Waterloo's claims say that earlier observances in other places were either informal, not community-wide, or one-time events. By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held on May 30th throughout the nation. State legislatures passed proclamations designating the day, and the Army and Navy adopted regulations for proper observance at their facilities. It was not until after World War I, however, that the day was expanded to honor those who have died in all American wars. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress, though it is still often called Decoration Day. It was then also placed on the last Monday in May, as has been the case with many federal holidays. General Logan's order for his post to decorate graves in 1868 with the choicest flowers of springtime urged this, and I quote, "We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic." The crowd attending the first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery was approximately the same size as those that attend today's observance, about 5,000 people. Then as now, small American flags were placed on each grave, a tradition followed at many national cemeteries today. And I just saw on the national news this past week, they have this down to an art now in Arlington National Cemetery. I don't remember exactly how many graves there are, but they have armed forces personnel that take that on, and in the matter of 3 hours, every stone in Arlington National Cemetery has an American flag placed in an exact measurement from it so that the thing is very uniform. It's a beautiful sight to see those flags that are placed there. In recent years, the custom has grown in many families to decorate the graves of all departed loved ones. And so there you have it, the history of Memorial Day. They really don't have time to teach all that in the school anymore. You know, as time goes on, history accumulates and they only have certain things that they have time to teach. And so it's up to us. The scripture has told us in our text this morning that we are not to forget these things our eyes have seen or let them slip from our hearts, but we're to teach them to our children. Our kids need to know somebody died for them to enjoy what they enjoy. Our kids need to know that it's important and significant that even the people that are a part of their own history, their own family lineage that have passed on before they have gotten here, that those people have had significant influence on their lives, maybe as it's passed through their parents or in other ways. We need to share those stories. We need to talk about those things. I remember all of the memorial days of my childhood. A large portion of my family is buried in a cemetery south of Fordland at Union Chapel Baptist Church property where I grew up and where I was saved at the age of 8, and where there are 4 markers now that mark the grave sites where they will stick me under the ground. I remember it bothered me immensely when I went one Memorial Day and visited my Grandma Ruby's grave shortly after she had died, only to have, in my horrified state, my mother and father walk me across the cemetery and plant me in front of a headstone that had their names on it and the names of all my siblings on the back of it. And they said, "This is where we're going to be." And I said, "Well, I like you where you are now." But it wasn't very long ago, going to see my father's grave, who passed away almost 5 years ago now, when walking with my son, we walked to that same headstone to honor the life of my father. And it's like, oh yeah, by the way, Cody, see that marker and that marker? That's where I'm going to be. I don't think he wanted to hear that any more than I wanted to hear it the day that my dad told it to me. But there's something significant about keeping our family lineage together, about people understanding the history. And I can't tell you that everything out of every family is going to be a positive. There's some stuff probably in some family histories that we'd like to forget. You know, there's some people maybe that we'd like to take out of the line. But indeed, they are part of who we are. And to be quite honest, some of the victory is saying what we've overcome. We need to teach our children. They need to learn respect and honor for those people who have lived before us. Thus the idea of Memorial Day. As an American, I believe the Scripture indicates that I have certain responsibilities. Indeed, if we look at Romans chapter 13, in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, we read these words: give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. I believe that it's my responsibility as an American to give respect and honor to every person who has ever died on an American battlefield to give me what I now enjoy. I have to tell you that one of the most moving moments in my life was in 1987 when I took a group of young people as the district NYI president to Nazarene Youth Congress on the University of Maryland campus. And one of the day trips that we took was to the Vietnam Veterans Wall. It's an interesting thing, lots of rowdy teenagers, lots of people. As we drove onto the site where the Vietnam Wall is there in Washington, D.C., though when that charter bus rolled in and the doors opened at the sidewalk that was indeed the perimeter of that piece of property, all of a sudden all those teenagers went quiet. And for about the next 45 minutes, which is the time we had to walk down past that bronze statue and on down to that great granite wall with all of those names, and all along the base of that wall, flags, flowers, stuffed animals, boots, people with paper and pencil getting the name of their loved one. I will never forget the sense that came over me as I set foot on that ground that was sacred for remembering the lives of those who, to be quite honest, was a generation that largely had not been honored, respected, remembered, or memorialized. I'm moved every time I see a story. For the last several years, they had the honor flights. And when I would see KY3 give another story of those World War II veterans going on those honor flights and going to Washington, D.C. and then coming back and the homecoming that they received as they came back, I was moved. I didn't know most of them. There were a couple of those fellows that I knew. They got to go on those trips. But I believe they deserved the honor that they received. The sad state of affairs is that we are unable to care for every American veteran in the way that we ought to. The sad thing is like many other things in the cause of trying to have a veterans administration and help veterans, there are causes and cases of abuse of all kinds, And there are cases that have fallen in the cracks and received no attention whatsoever. We're an imperfect government. We're an imperfect people. But the fact that we're trying to take care of those who have taken care of us is a good thing. They deserve our honor. They deserve our respect. Some of them have walked away from families, jobs, and other situations in order to serve their time. We've known of it particularly in deployments in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And don't we love those stories of the dads popping out of boxes and showing up at school assemblies and all those kinds of things where kids get to welcome home their father unexpectedly and earlier than they were supposed to come? Every one of those moves me. I have had several of the fellows who were still involved in reserves and other things that have been live military while they've been here in our congregation throughout my 28 years that I've been here. Tell me stories of walking into restaurants when they've been on an occasion to come back from having just served their 2 weekends or whatever, but they might still be in uniform, walk into a restaurant and would walk up to pay for their meal and it had already been paid for by total strangers. Those are the kinds of stories that move us. Those are the kinds of things that say that's what honor and respect is all about. Appreciation. We need to remember those who have given their lives. Over 1.4 million in the history of the world. And we need to do a good job of recognizing and appreciating those who are still living and serving in our military. I want us to think about perhaps a bigger picture this morning as we move toward the end. Because not only do I have responsibilities as an American, but I have responsibilities as a Christian. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Beginning at verse 1 and reading the first 7 verses. Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs He performed and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What He did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how He overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what He did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. We have a responsibility as Christians to teach a generation that has perhaps not witnessed or seen it so that they will not forget, so that they will remember. Interestingly enough, you know, we talk about the 1.4 million, and they deserve our respect and our honor. But did you know that in the 20th century alone, 45 million people gave their lives in witness for Jesus Christ at the hostility of another human being because they were speaking of Jesus? In the 20th century alone. We need to help our children remember what's important. We as parents need to take the responsibility to teach our children about Jesus. To remember God. Matter of fact, as we look at the scriptures this morning, God has given us some specific directives that we need to remember. And to be quite honest, you don't have time for me to preach about all the things God said to remember. So I'll just pick a couple, 3 this morning. But I remind you that in in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to get to Ecclesiastes in a minute. But in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. I've thought a lot about that. I've thought about that in respect to some of the other things I'm going to share with you in just a minute. But I've decided that remembering the Sabbath day maybe really isn't intended to be about remembering a day. What was the Sabbath? It was a day of rest. What was the point of a day of rest? It was to take our mind off all secular activities and to focus on what God had done, on what we had been given. It was a day of worship. It was God's day. So the focus and the emphasis isn't so much that we have one day a week that's more special than any other day. The emphasis here is that in the busy 7-day week we have, that we take time to stop. There's a cessation of all other activity where we focus on God. It's a day so that God is first. It's a day so that God is foremost. The bottom line here, always make time for God. We live in a world that wants to roll 7 days a week without God until they need Him for help. When nothing else will work for them, then they cry out to God. He said to us, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And I believe that that ties exactly into the next thing that He said when we look at Ecclesiastes. And we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. I think what He's trying to say to us here is that we remember God from the time we're young. I do counseling from time to time with people. And had a conversation just recently with a couple of young people at the same time. That one had been raised in a Christian home and the other had been raised in a good moral home, but without church and religion. But both of them admitted that in their college days, they had just had so many things going on that they wanted to do that were all about them, that they had kind of, the one individual told me that they just pushed away basically their religious beliefs and their Christianity, and that was all on the back burner. They were aware that it was there, but they weren't really practicing any of it or involved in it. I believe that God incited us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth so that we would have a lifetime of service to Him and He would have a lifetime of blessing to us. I believe that you're here this morning because you believe that possibly life with God is much better than life without Him. And that the truth of the matter is, as much as we want to think of ourselves as being self-sufficient, we know that when nothing else works, we can cry out to God. Not that we should wait till then, but at sometimes that's the only point we'll acknowledge Him, when there's nothing left. We need to be reminded from early on that all good things that we enjoy come from God. I want you to think about this verse of Scripture, going back to the book of Deuteronomy and in chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, we find these words. But remember, here's another remember. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. There is so much about this life that we proclaim is mine. If God doesn't give you the air to breathe and the biological ability to process the oxygen, where are you at? You're dead. Your life exists because God says it can. We are God's. Everything we have should be God's. Not because He's greedy, because He's a creator. He's the source of all things. And if we acknowledge that, then we find that in our stewardship, as Pastor Don challenged you about stewardship this morning, that in our stewardship of those possessions that we have been blessed with, that we have a greater sense of peace, and indeed that God blesses us along the way. We need to remember God. But the New Testament incites us to remember something else. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. Our responsibility as a Christian is to promote the good news that God so loved the world that He gave His Son Jesus to die for our sins. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact, this just kind of came on me this morning as I was sitting in the office and praying, that there are a lot of people historically who have said they've made a deal with the devil. They made a deal with the devil supposedly to gain wealth and notoriety and stuff while here on this earth. Can you ever think of anybody who ever made a deal with the devil because of what he could offer him in eternity? The devil doesn't even want people to think about eternity. Because the only thing that the devil has to offer people in eternity is death and destruction. Hell is not going to be a party. Matter of fact, according to the scripture, you won't know anybody else is there. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of torment. It's a place of remembering what you wish you could be involved in that you can't have anymore. On the other hand, Jesus Christ promises to us not only abundant life in the present, but eternal life. A home on streets of gold. In a place where He's the light. Where we have perfect knowledge. And where we live forever. Consider the choices. As we remember, then let us accept Him as Savior. Make Him Lord and Master. And let Him abide in us and dictate all of our attitudes and actions. That makes life better for us and everyone else here and gives us the assurance of a place for eternity. Remember. 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 That's what this day is all about. Memorial Weekend is about remembering. Honoring. Respecting. I encourage you. I encourage you to decorate the graves of those who have gone on with pretty flowers. But I'm going to encourage you in one other way. And those of you who've been with me long enough know I'm going to get here eventually when it comes to Memorial Day. Those people in those graves where you place those flowers, they deserve your memory. They deserve your honor. But for heaven's sake, will you do what God has told us to do? Remember and talk to some people who are living. Teach your children. Go to those people for whom you can appreciate and be a blessing now and tell them thanks. Decorate the lives of those who are still with us with verbal flowers like thank you. You have blessed me. I love you. I owe you. Make a difference for those who are alive now. I officiate lots of weddings. Almost always they give me a boutonniere. Lots of scent flowers these days, but I love it when they give me those live flowers because every time you turn around you can smell them. It's fragrant. They're pretty. I almost always wear them sometimes to church the next morning if they last that long. Give some flowers. Not only to those, in honor and respect of those who have passed on. Remember, don't forget them. But give some flowers to those who are living and can really appreciate the fragrance of them and the beauty of them and make the world a better place to be. As an American, hold high the tribute to all who have sacrificed. As a Christian, lift up the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And giving His life as an atonement for sin for all time. Let's stand together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just a moment, very quickly. We never want to close a service that we don't give people an opportunity to pray if they have needs, to respond, to let God speak to their hearts, to do business, to bring things up to date, to be current. And so these altars are open to you this morning. We pause for just a moment. If there's anyone here who just needs a place to pray, to say, I want to remember, I want to honor, I want to respect, I want to revere, I want God to be in the place. I want Him to be first and foremost, to be creator, to be everything in my life. If you need a place to pray, these altars are open to you. This morning we invite you to come. We'll be glad to pray with you about whatever need you might have. Anyone at all this morning that just needs a place to kneel and acknowledge God? Then just before we pray a closing prayer this morning, we indeed are having our monthly dinner. We invite those of you who are first-time visitors over this past month to make your way to the head of the line. And Pastor Don and Ruth, I don't think we have a designated family. I'll ask you, if you will, to lead the way and help those who might be first-time visitors today, since you're kind of in charge of our outreach ministry. And then also, we have those folks who have birthdays and anniversaries, and I'm not sure. We're trying to update right now, even as we speak. We've got new folks coming in. So if I've missed you, you'll have to help me a little bit this morning. But the list I've been handed, we don't have any anniversaries. So do we have any anniversaries this month? Leo and Vonda, some of our new folks. And see, we haven't got all that information locked in yet. So Leo and Vonda have an anniversary this month. We congratulate you. How many years? 59. Just seemed like 60, huh, Leo? All right. Well, you folks can go to the head of the line. And then we have some birthdays. And if we've missed anybody, we'll give you a chance to catch us up on some of our new folks, too. But Steve Beechler, Gabby Fieseth, Phyllis Hahn, Jennifer Swearingen, MJ Willard, and Pat Stevens all have birthdays in the month of May. Anybody else that has, some of our newer folks have a birthday in the month of May that we didn't catch? Right? Jeremy, have I got Jeremy's name? I don't have Jeremy's. Okay, Jeremy's on here. And Madison, I think we got Madison. There she is. I didn't realize she was here. Okay, Madison Sarley. All right. So those folks have got birthdays, and we honor you. We congratulate you and welcome you. And so you can go to the head of the line as well this morning. We have given you the evening off. There indeed is a concert at Springfield Grace. If some of you would like to be in a church service this evening at 6 o'clock, Brian Arner will be in concert there. And some of us will be going and supporting that. But there will be no service here. Some of you will be making trips to cemeteries and honoring those you love and have gone on. And we want you to do that and encourage you to do so. And so we are having dinner for those of you who'd like to stay. And so we'll just have a great day in the Lord, and we'll honor Him in all that we say, in all that we do. Sister Deborah Gill, if you would pray a closing prayer.